Welcome to episode 127 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Alan Olson, Eric Borzeski, the usual suspects.
The usual guys.
Yeah, the usual guys turned up at Eastlake, in fact. It's not often you get a weekend where both Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson win something.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre. Yeah, I mean, it's good for golf. They're easily the two most recognizable names on the tour. Everybody wants to see those guys go head-to-head every week, and you kind of got to see it, sort of, except in one regard it didn't really matter too much, but fun to see nonetheless.
It was interesting, though. Tiger Woods, for a little while, looked as though he may actually not win the FedEx Cup, but then Steve Stricker closed with two late bogeys. Jim Furyk closed poorly. They were the only guys, I think, that could have taken it from him, unless Kenny Perry or Phil Mickelson had a bit more luck. But Tiger Woods had two late birdies, kind of grinded out, I think, an even par round of 70, and got it done, at least as far as that goes. Didn't win the tournament, though. Kenny Perry didn't win the tournament. He shot like 8 over or 6 over, something like that. Finished well back. I think he shot 76. But Tiger didn't win the tournament. Phil shot a scintillating round of 65, which followed a rather impressive round of 66, which followed an 8 on, I think, Thursday from the middle of the fairway on a par 4.
It happens to those guys, too. They make snowmen just not quite as often as we do.
And then they come back and shoot 66-65 on the weekend to win. So a putting tip. Phil gave a lot of credit to a putting tip from Dave Stockton, which was basically putt the way you used to, more feel.
Yeah. Ignore the other guy you'd been listening to for a while.
I don't know what other guy that would be.
I don't know.
Dave Stockton's stock goes up, perhaps even more than Tiger Woods for winning the FedEx Cup, now that he's had Michelle Wee and Phil Mickelson turn in rather stellar putting performances.
I would imagine his Twitter account is going crazy with people wanting to get putting tips from him.
Good luck with that, people. The official world golf rankings, Tiger Woods 16.54, Phil Mickelson 8.33, so just above half.
Yep, that's pretty much where, it's pretty much where it's been for the last 2-3 years, so all is well in the world. Moving over to the LPGA Tour, Sofie Gustafson captured her first LPGA win in a grand total of 6 years. Hard to believe she's 35, but nonetheless, she won. She
a little bit more of your generation, perhaps, than mine, and I'm not that much younger than you. So.
It's just hard to believe. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. But she held off Lorena Ochoa. So yeah, you know, an LPGA year where Ochoa really.
That's the main topic here.
Yeah, she did nothing. Here's your number one player of the world, and I can't tell you the last time she won.
She's beat by someone in a San Francisco Giants hat.
Yes. Insane that she could wear a Giants hat and win an LPGA Tour event. So,
but Lorena Ochoa, not a great year. And granted, you know, I think her grandfather died or something. She got married. She became a stepmom. You know, all kinds of stuff happened. But hasn't exactly looked sharp. She managed an only an even par final round. And Sofie Gustafson kind of walked away with it. They were, I believe, tied going into the final round, and I think she lost by 4 shots or something. Not a great final round for Lorena Ochoa, and the few times she's gotten up near the lead on Friday or Saturday, she really hasn't closed the deal lately. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Do you think someone will overtake Lorena Ochoa as number one player in the world by middle of next year?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think she may regroup in the offseason and try to come out strong. She always seems to start the year better than she tends to finish it. So I'm kind of split on that one, that question myself. So I guess we'll see. And with that, we'll be right back with our forum topic of the week.
On a scorecard, all shots are created equal.
A stroke is a stroke.
From the first tee
to the 18th green.
There's only one piece of equipment
I use for every one of them.
My golf ball.
And in a game where just one shot can decide a championship,
the ball you play makes a difference.
And that's why there's only one ball.
There's only one ball I'd ever play.
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Our forum topic of the week deals with the weighting of the FedEx Cup tournaments. This is, what, year 3 of the FedEx Cup. Tigers won 2 of them. And every year it seems like they need to tinker a little bit with the scoring. I don't know. I thought the scoring was a lot better this year, as it did allow people to move up. It wasn't the fact that, you know, Tiger built such a daunting lead that, you know, the last 2 weeks were boring as far as that goes. But yeah, it is pretty interesting that you don't need to win at all on the PGA Tour and still have a shot at being in there. And I don't know. And you did have.
Can we both agree though that this year was the best year so far?
Oh yes, not even close. I mean,
because 2 years ago Tiger won, and it was interesting, but the fact that he won the Tour Championship was kind of immaterial. He didn't quite have the lead Vijay had, but he basically had to, you know, not finish dead last or something like that. And last year, obviously, Vijay Singh, despite winning the same number of playoff events as Camilo Villegas, had it wrapped up and basically didn't have to die over 72 holes. So the best year so far. And this guy's asking if you have to win. But Kenny Perry, Steve Stricker, Phil, Tiger, Zach Johnson, Padraig Harrington, you know, all those guys had a chance to win. And they had won previously in the year. The only guy not to have won was Jim Furyk.
Yeah.
So I guess he's saying, you know, should you have to have won prior to the Tour Championship to have a chance to win? Basically, should Jim Furyk been allowed to win this year? And you know, I think that's a good point. I think sometimes you can get robbed, and the difference between two wins and zero wins in a year is very small. Jim Furyk was right there at the Memorial, and Tiger Woods shot, you know, 65 on his butt on Sunday and took it away from him. So, you know, it's a very thin line out there, but at the same time, you look at some of the other guys that win, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you can require that the fact that, oh, you have to win during the year in order to win the FedEx Cup.
If you finish second in every tournament in the year, you know, you'll come into the Tour Championship with a points lead.
Right. I mean, the odds are, I mean, even in all 3 years of it, the cream still rises to the top. I mean, the best players that have played the best all year were at the top of the board. Now, you do get, you know, somebody like, you know, a Heath Slocum who comes from, you know, almost last place to, you know, the potential to win, I guess, but.
But he had won a tournament.
Right, he won.
It just wasn't the Tour Championship. So right. Three of the top five had won.
Multiple.
A playoff event.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Slocum being the one outlier there. And the fourth guy had won twice this year. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think it was the best. They're never going to go to match play because they risk Phil and Tiger and a few others getting booted early. I just don't see the Tour doing a match play tournament. You know, cumulative stroke play, that might be interesting. Tiger Woods still would have won. you know, he was there in every tournament. He, tied for 11th, 2nd, 1st, and 2nd. So, you know, cumulative stroke play you could do. That would make the leaderboard easier to understand. There wouldn't be points. It'd just be strokes. So that might be interesting. But beyond that, I don't see any changes coming.
No, I can't see them do it. I mean, you maybe will see some minor tinkering, but for the most part, this year was pretty successful. You didn't, you know, you did have some volatility in the FedEx, you know, in the actual FedEx Cup, as far as, you know, the playoff rounds, where you did have, you know, a lot of shuffling moving around. And at the same time, the guys that played well throughout the entire year were at the top of the leaderboard for the FedEx Cup anyway, whether it was the regular year or the tournament. So,
and let me just say as a final note here, I really don't like it when people make up stupid names for it and call it the Fed Up Cup or anything stupid like that. Seriously, people, are you in fifth grade?
In this game, you never hit the same shot twice.
You have to be totally prepared
for whatever the course gives you.
I practice shots
most people don't even think of.
Out here,
if you want to win, you can't take anything for granted.
Can't take anything for granted. Especially
your golf ball. Especially your golf ball.
Performance counts. Quality counts. Every shot counts. Titleist, the number one ball in golf.
Leading off our beaten ball segment for this week, an interesting shift at one of the, you'd have to call it one in golf history, Shoal Creek, back in 1990, was hosting the PGA Championship and had just a little issue with what the owner had said, and the founder has now come, I guess you could say, come full circle. Condoleezza Rice has become a member at Shoal Creek. That's pretty cool.
Good for them. Good for her. I don't know. She's kind of nuts for golf lately. It's a little odd. I know her name was tossed around as a possible LPGA commissioner, and you know, I think it was quickly. I don't think she would want that job, but or necessarily be a good fit for it. But it was thrown about for that. And whatever. She's golf nuts. She's a golf nut retiree at this point. Yeah.
Pretty much. Maybe she can go to the Villages or something. I don't know.
Yeah, just because she's, you know, 45 or whatever she is doesn't mean she can't be.
Yeah. And she's been tossed around, too, as potential for, you know, Augusta if it ever got to that point. And, you know, it's only good for the game of golf. So kind of cool with that. Not so cool for the LPGA Tour is losing the Michelob Ultra Open at Kingsmill, which, what, would they have like four tournaments for next year, maybe five?
No, I think they got like seven in the United States. They said something about not wanting to put all their eggs in one basket or not wanting to blow it all in one fell swoop, their advertising budget. Okay, this is Budweiser, right? Anheuser-Busch, you know, makes Budweiser, Michelob, you know, right? I'm not a beer guy, but Anheuser-Busch is big. And, okay, these are the same people that will spend, you know, $120 million for four ads in the Super Bowl or whatever. These are the same people that sponsor NASCAR events out the rear, or cars or drivers or however that works. I don't see the Michelob Ultra Open at Kingsmill as being an incredibly large percentage of their advertising expenditures. So what they're saying is that for the 0.0006% that their advertising budget is, the LPGA Tour isn't even giving them enough value to justify that. So that's sad, and that's pathetic.
Pretty much.
And the LPGA is that's bad when someone like Budweiser. Because when times get tough, people still drink beer, from what I understand. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when the economy, I mean, people are still going to eat. People are still going to buy, you know, whatever their beer of choice, liquor of choice, wine of choice. They're still going to buy that. Yeah, this just seems bizarre. Beer sales are down, but I mean, they're Anheuser-Busch. I mean, this has got to be just a ridiculously small amount of advertising dollars anyway to sponsor this event. So I don't know. This is kind of, it's a bad decision, I think, on their part. And I don't know. Are they going to gear up more money for the Super Bowl or more money for something?
Well, and this just shows, I mean, golfers, male golfers, you'd think cute chicks that can play golf, you know, wearing skirts and beer, like all together, that would be, you know, pretty easy sell. Apparently it's not.
No. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, they say they're going to remain involved, but not as a big dollar tournament sponsor. What big exactly dollars, does that mean?
You know, like, anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Brighter news?
In brighter news, the LPGA is closer to finding a new replacement for Carolyn Bivens.
You know, I look at the list. It doesn't really overwhelm
me. But the list is like two, apparently, at this point.
I get the first one. What, Pete?
Bavakwa.
That, okay, USGA Chief Business Officer, that makes sense. But why would you put the WNBA president?
I don't know, because it almost seems like she's jumping ship. I've heard that the NBA isn't in great shape. The NBA supports the WNBA. It's never been an independent league like the LPGA.
No, I mean,
the PGA Tour does nothing to support the LPGA Tour. It's totally different. So she'd have to do it all herself, and the NBA is failing and likely isn't going to be able to support the WNBA anymore. So it almost seems like she's jumping ship. I'm just discouraged. I don't like search companies. A search company gave us Carolyn Bivens, after all.
Yeah, this is just, it's almost, I don't know. They're just going after, like, names. Oh, this person was chief business of this and president of that. Why would you go after somebody who's leading the league that nobody cares about, even in the LPGA? I mean, nobody cares about the WNBA, even worse. I mean, they get worse ratings than the LPGA.
Yeah, a guy will pause for a couple minutes, at least, when he sees an LPGA Tour event playing on TV, you know, at 9 o'clock at night. But the WNBA events are like, basketball, oh, it's women. Click. They're gone.
You know, and you get some guy, you know, and then.
So, whatever.
Supposedly the commissioner of World Series of Poker were also considered. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is who you want leading.
They get more coverage on ESPN than the women do.
That's true. And the WNBA. But I don't know. It's like, this is the best you could do. I mean, you couldn't find somebody who's, I don't know, you couldn't find somebody who's already at the LPGA that would be qualified enough to get promoted or.
No, because Bivens promote, you know, she kicked out a bunch of people. So,
how about some of the people that she kicked out? You know, maybe they'd like to come back and lead the tour. Can't be all bad, but it could be for the PGA, as 2010 schedule is pretty much set. But after that is going to be a little dicey, as 10 title sponsor contracts expire after 2010 season for the PGA Tour. That is a lot. I don't think we'll see the mass exodus like we did for the LPGA. But
it's a lot.
I don't know. This will be interesting to see what happens, as you know, you pretty much are going to lose all the car companies, you know, anything that's involved in banking.
Well, not Deutsche Bank. That guy still likes golf.
That guy still likes golf. And
And Verizon has pulled out of the Hilton Head after 2010. So there's one of the 10 already gone. Verizon has announced it is ending its association with the Verizon Heritage Classic, which began in 1987.
Yeah.
And it's restructuring its association with the PGA Tour.
Nice words for it. We're bailing now.
Bye.
You know?
Yep.
FBR is pulling out of the Phoenix Open. That thing that makes money hand over fist, so.
Yeah. On the bright side, maybe we'll have to see less of that annoying dude saying, you've got coverage here, or can you hear me now, or whatever.
There's a positive to that.
So, tough times ahead, but we'll see. You know, the guys may, like the women, have to play for slightly smaller purses. Maybe some of the fall series events, you know, the one going on right now, the Turning Stone Invitational. They've kind of, it's the biggest purse in the fall series, and they've been kind of wanting to move up a little bit. And the weather tends to suck this time of year because they're not far from me. And I don't think I'll be playing golf in the next 4 days, let alone guys playing for $6 million or whatever. So maybe they'll move up.
Yeah, you might see some of the fall, more of the silly season stuff move up to the mainstream, and then maybe golf will actually have a fall break.
Yeah, that would be fine by me. Okay, the end. Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.